What's up, you're on with Mario Lopez. Joining me now on Zoom from This Is Us, actor, my guy Milo Ventimiglia. Welcome to the show, man. How you been?
Thanks, Mario. I'm good, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. A lot I want to talk about, but of course, let's start with This Is Us. The final season is coming up. I'm fascinated, Milo, how they've been able to, being a fan of the show and watching it, continue to go back and forth. And I thought once we discovered how your character, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything because it's been a while now, how your
people
character.
People need to have watched.
Yeah, exactly. I need to watch at this point.
You're spoiling something. What?
Exactly. Once we discovered he died and with the fire, and I thought, okay, where can they go from? That's it. That's the peak, right? But no, they kept. And it was like, wow. So kudos to the writing staff there. But with that said, what's in store for the family?
Oh man. I mean, knowing that, I feel like when the show first started, we were kind of driving things forward from the past. Now I think we're kind of reversing it. We're going from the future back toward the present and understanding, you know, in the beginning, I think the big mystery was all about Jack's death and of course how it impacted his family, his children, his wife. But now what we started to see are kind of the breadcrumb trail of Rebecca's legacy and Rebecca's impact on her children and Rebecca's life post her marriage to Jack and you know, remarrying to Miguel and all of that. So I think we're kind of going swinging the other direction of the pendulum of parents. You know, one direction was Jack toward the beginning, the first season, second season, third season. And now it's kind of swung the other way where it's about Rebecca and this kind of the back half of Rebecca's life. So, you know, understanding that she's going through some Alzheimer's and some dementia and knowing that we've jumped kind of around in the future, played in the future a little bit and kind of understand, oh, maybe this is coming. I think what we're going to see this season is more reflecting on Rebecca's life and reflecting on Rebecca's impact to her kids. And of course, you know, Jack will still be there. Jack will be around in memory. Just, you know, his kids are growing up. So, you know, we may have to find different sets of children.
Yeah.
And we've already dealt with alcoholism. So we got to wrap that one up. We dealt with war.
Right.
Wrap that one up.
A lot of layers to Jack.
There's always something to do with
Jack.
So
much great content on television right now. It truly is the golden age with quality TV. And This Is Us seems to break from the network pack. Congratulations on the Emmy. Because
thanks,
I believe you guys are like one of the only guys from right from a network show to be nominated. That's got to feel even extra special.
If it always feels good to be in the conversation, you know, I don't know that there's the goal of wanting to be recognized, but I think there's just a lot of hardworking people who are talented and telling the stories that we want to tell the way we want to tell them. So being recognized is just, it's nice. I know it's not something we're aiming for, but it is always nice when that happens. Then, you know, on top of it, it's nice when some of us individually get nominated. So
absolutely,
you know.
Good for you. Good for you. I know you've directed a couple episodes of the show, correct?
I have.
Are you looking for more opportunities to do that outside of the show and what have you?
I mean, I started directing at 25, doing interstitial campaigns for the WB network. Remember the WB?
Before CW.
Course, man. We all remember the WB. the frog.
Right, the frog. that's right.
Yeah, I was doing interstitials and commercial campaigns and digital stuff, kind of low hanging fruit. So it's been nice that Fogelman and Ken Olin have brought me on board to direct a little bit more. Also, again, you know, where that pendulum swings and things are focusing more on Rebecca, that kind of slims down Jack's storylines a little bit. And putting me behind the camera to direct gives me an opportunity just to spend more time with the crew creatively.
Yeah, smart.
So I think it's a smart pivot on production's end to just, hey, we like having that Ventimiglia around, so let's just throw him behind the camera because maybe he also likes to shoot pretty pictures too, and everybody knows him. He likes everybody, so
there you go.
It's been fun, and I think I'm already on the boards to direct one, possibly another one by the end of the season too.
Nice, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
You're also part of this podcast, Strawberry Spring. Now, this is a fictional drama. I picture something like old time radio, or what's it about? Am I off?
Exactly, man. Exactly. So when I was a kid growing up, my dad, on these long car road trips we go on, he'd listen to these old radio plays, like kind of old talkies. You know, you're hearing the folly, like, all right, we're going to go see what's going on behind this door. You know, yeah. Let's talk to him. Hey, what do you say? You know, all these different things. But the new scripted podcast, radio shows, radio plays, it's kind of taking a note from all those old time creative storytelling ideas from the past. And this one is based on Strawberry Spring, is based on a Stephen King short story. And Lee Metzger took that 11-page story and recrafted it. And it's about a journalist who in this town oh my God, why am I blanking on the name? I recorded this thing and now I'm blanking on the name. I got so many things running through my head.
Is it a real town or a fictitious town?
No, the town where this takes place, New Sharon, in the northeast. Because of course, Stephen King things kind of take place in the northeast.
Sure.
And it's about a guy investigating a serial killer, a Jack the Ripper-esque kind of character. And it's the discovery that these murders keep happening, and it's a recurring thing. It happens, you know, once or twice, then 8 years later, it happens again in a similar fashion. And so over the course of the 8 episodes, you're discovering things about the killer through the point of view of this journalist. And the journalist is played by Garrett Hedlund. And I play a friend of his who's also a radio disc jockey, who is at the same time kind of trying to make sense of these killings and investigate this as well. There's a newspaper gal played by Sydney Sweeney. Just like a really wonderful cast too. And it's, you know, a radio play.
That's cool, man. Yet another creative platform right there. I dig it.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Milo, reboots, of course, are big right now. Nostalgia always seems to be a hit, and superheroes even bigger. Do you think the cast of Heroes could ever reunite?
I think they tried it that once, like, what was that, about 5 years ago? They brought it back, or
did
4 years
they bring
ago
it back?
They brought it back.
Huh.
They did, it was called Heroes Reboot, Revival, Re-something.
I can't remember
the name of it.
Yeah.
But it kind of... I'll be honest, it came in my direction. I was asked to be a part of it, but it didn't feel right.
Okay.
It felt like
forced.
They weren't, you know what it felt like? Honestly, it felt like the powers that be believed that the creative was bigger than the characters. And what I find is TV audiences connect with characters,
right?
Because they see themselves
right.
in that character.
Absolutely.
And what it felt like was, they were wanting to use Peter Petrelli in the beginning to pull everybody in to be like, hey, look, we got the crew back. And then Peter Petrelli was going to go away for a long time and then pop back up at the end. And I was like, yeah, but what happened to Peter?
Yeah.
You want to tell a story about Peter or Claire or Hero or, you know, Mohinder Suresh or Nathan Petrelli or, you know, anybody else. Like, that's great. But Matt Parkman, I don't know. I mean, there were so many characters, so many different things, but it just didn't feel right to me.
Got it.
It felt like, personally, it felt like a bait and switch. And I wouldn't want to deceive the audience or the fan base of Heroes just by being a part of it in like the tiniest of ways.
Not the creative direction you wanted to go in. Respect that.
No.
But before I let you go, Milo, I'm going to put you on the spot with some quick questions, quick answers. All right.
Sure.
What TV show are you watching right now that you recommend? Aside from your own, of course.
This is horrible, man. I'm not watching anything right now. You know, like last night I got home. I needed to like unplug my brain and I turned on the Robert Redford film, A River Runs Through It.
Really?
Just to see these beautiful vistas and hear like a super story. Like,
That's
not the answer you're going for.
Hey.
It's not flashy. It's not sexy, but it was like.
River Runs Through It's a great, that the River Runs Through It. Nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
What was the first concert you ever attended?
NoFX.
Wow.
The band NoFX. Yeah. I was a big punk rock kid as a kid. And
down in Orange County?
Down in Orange County. And I was underaged. I actually wasn't allowed to be there, but somehow I got in. And that was like, that was, I think, one of the first shows I got to. Yeah.
Who was your celebrity crush growing up?
Oh, man. I remember as a kid having a Cindy Crawford calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, so did I. She went in the black bathing suit. She, you know what? It's so funny because I asked her too, and she goes, "I only made one." She only made one, so she goes, "I know you're not lying."
And the thing is, we all had it.
Yeah.
We all had it.
We're about the same.
I know it was pretty crazy because we had a moment where Kate on This Is Us was flipping through a magazine, and she asked a question about Cindy Crawford, and it was a conversation with me. So I'm talking to her about Cindy Crawford, and then Cindy Crawford Instagrammed it or something, and I was like, oh my god, Cindy Crawford knows who we are.
That's surreal. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All-time favorite Stephen King movie?
Oof. I mean, Cujo.
Were you gonna say Cujo? I was just about to say I love Cujo too. Yeah, especially when we were kids. Great. I don't know if it holds up, but when we were kids it was awesome.
You know, terrifying.
Right? Yeah. With that St. Bernard. Yeah. And the, it doesn't hold up? You saw it recently?
I saw it like 2 years ago.
One of our producers says it doesn't hold up.
I saw it like 2 years ago. It doesn't really
hold up. Oh, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah. Dude, Cujo. It was so funny. Cujo's I was just great. Talking with my mom and dad the other day, and I was just like, I'm like, what's your guys' favorite book? My dad, without missing a beat, said Cujo. I'm like, God, that was a terrifying movie.
Wow. I forgot. Yeah. Of course. And last question. Who plays you in the Milo Ventimiglia biopic?
Mario Lopez.
Wonderful casting. You know what? I will nail it and make you proud.
Of course.
In the meanwhile, listen to Strawberry Spring on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcast. Milo, nice catching up with you, man. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah. Always, Mario. Appreciate you, brother. Good seeing you.
Take care, you too.
All right, man. We'll see you guys.
On with Mario Lopez.